Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome along to the Catch Up Podcast. You're listening to Marto and Margo. Big week. Congratulations. Lot of fun. And a big show on Friday as well.
Well, wasn't that big a week. It was only 4 days. But what was inside each show?
It was everything. 5 days into four was incredible.
There was a spurdy beetle bag. There was a surprise in every fold. And some of it was shit.
Novelty and cheap.
No. It's good.
Snake talk in this particular episode of the Catch Up Podcast.
Jamie, I've told you to stop talking about your trouser snake. Nobody wants to.
Sorry, Margo. Won't happen
again. What about early on this morning when we were doing the Jerry Springer segment that we do? Have you ever slept with your mate sister? Jesus, I've had so many text messages. I didn't know so many mates of mine.
Tell them to ring 133353.
Oh no, but no one's going to put this to air. I've had two of these. Okay, where they were going out with the girl and then they slept with the daughter as well.
Well,
is that the Cornella? What do you call that? Or is that the Daily Double?
What about brothers? Let's not go there. Okay. Moving right along.
Yeah, let's get into it. It's the Catch Up Podcast.
You have?
Enjoy your weekend. This is Triple M.
It's asking for a friend.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
And it's a crowded studio. We've got the audience in with us this morning.
From Jerry Springer, if anyone remember it. And it's always a controversial topic that we talk about when we go to Jerry Springer.
You are not the father.
Actually, well, we were talking yesterday about Ben Cousins, the former West Eagles champion AFL footballer, and we were going back in time. In 2005, he turned up at the Brownlow Medal with black eyes because he'd had a fight with Daniel Kerr, who's Sam Kerr, the soccer player's brother, had a fight with him. He'd given him black eyes because...
been kissing his sister.
Doing something with his sister. Mm. And they had it out, teammates. They said, you've been messing around with me, sis.
Have you ever slept with a mate's girlfriend, Marto?
Mate's girlfriend or sister?
Sister, sorry.
Yes, I have, and he never found out. But he was.
You don't have to mention names. So tell us what happened.
We played together at university for Queensland and the Wallabies together in the end. But I was sleeping with her before that. Schoolies week.
Oh,
met her at Schoolies week. So we had a. But weird.
Was it a love affair or just?
No. We had 6 months together when I was 17.
And he never found out?
No, he did find out because I was often be sitting in his lounge room.
Did you end up with black eyes too?
We'd go to training together. We never discussed his sister. We kept it all just.
Was it awkward?
Whatever happens in her bedroom is what happens in her bedroom. It was a little awkward, but I became very, I love their family and.
Hmm.
She's one of the ones that died, so.
Oh, that's right. Marto has three girlfriends that he killed.
I only had three girlfriends before Kath.
And they all died.
They all died.
Jesus.
All of different things, so I'm a genius.
I'm stepping away from the studio.
Margo?
It's only
if I sleep with you that you die.
Listen,
this isn't what we're talking about.
I was going to say, come on, Robin.
Sorry, I boxed myself into a corner there. That was all good.
Well, my Never dad's best mate married his sister. So I guess at some stage he would have been sleeping. My dad's
best mate, married my
auntie. Yeah. But at some stage they would have been sleeping together.
Whoa. Was that a later in life or was that an early in life one?
No, it was like best mates from like high school, I think. And then he had the hots for the sister. She was a bit older and
When I started with this girl, I didn't know she was the sister of.
Oh.
And then we went over and met her parents and then I went, oh, my God, you're the parents of my mate who played. Oh, it was ugly.
Yeah.
That bit was ugly, the first realisation. And then we all went, no, that's okay. Love comes in many different forms.
I think you need to play it again.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about me anymore. I want to talk about everyone else. What happened? Like, was there a fight or was there, because it's so handy. Your best mate's there and your girlfriend's
there.
When
did you sleep with your mate's sister?
It's like living out the back of a convenience store. So good.
133353. I know Jerry would offer cash payments for people to come on the show. We've got beer or seafood for our callers this morning.
Zach from Narangba.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Well, mate. What happened?
Me and the mate's sister, we got together behind his back and, it was about 6 months where he didn't know about it. And when he found out, he cut us off for about 8 months. He moved out of home and everything.
Both of you? He didn't talk to either of you?
No, he cut us both off.
Were you with her at the family home and that's why he had to move out?
Yeah, well, because we're all hanging out as a big group, so, yeah.
Did he ever give you the ultimatum in friendship, Zach, and say, choose her or me?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. He just was happy to walk away from you.
You're obviously back together now. It's all good?
Yeah, we never split up. It's been 5 years and we have a kid now, so.
Oh, you, so you ended up, did you marry her, Zach?
Yeah, we're married.
So it was all worth it. Are you mates with the brother again?
Yeah, he finally came back when he realised it was a serious thing.
Oh, so happy ending after all.
Yeah.
Has he ever looked in the eyes and said, "What do you see in my sister? I can't cop her."
No, you'll never think of that.
Oh, that's lovely. That is a great love story, but still, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Okay, everyone, that's a wonderful ending. We'd rather a poorer ending than that, because that's turned out well. Good on you, mate.
All right, cheers.
We do this most weeks. We play Springophiles. Jerry. This is the spicy part of the show.
Always interesting. Hayden from Forest Lake. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah,
topic
Hayden.
Topic of the day. Have you slept with your mate's sisters?
No, I was never that, as you say, good enough to be able to be accepted by one of their sisters, but I was one of the blokes that had the sister that 80% of your mates slept with.
Oh, what? Hayden, how did that feel?
Hayden, are we back in New Zealand or over here?
Yeah, we're back in New Zealand.
Is that one of the reasons you moved to Australia?
Mate, that's a relatively large statistic, 80% of your mates. How many mates did you have? A few or not many, hopefully?
Well, yeah, we all went grew up through, you know, preschool, then went to boarding school together, then, yeah. So we've known each other, you know, for a long time. We're in our 40s now, and there's a few of us over here, and, you know, we all still kick out together.
Right. So did you know at the time, or one day you were having beers with different... We go, what, you too? You slept with her as well?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like that.
Steve-o, no, not you. Oh, Jesus. When?
Not you too, Brito. Oh,
have you told Mum?
Yeah. She's got other daughters she's got to worry about as well.
Oh, geez. Hayden.
How many sisters did you have, Hayden?
I got three.
Oh
goodness.
Busy.
Gracious.
Busy.
You got daughters now, Hayden?
No, mate, I got two sons, that's it. Oh. Yeah, didn't want to go for any more, so quickly into the doctor.
Yeah, nice one. Lovely. Thanks for the call, mate. That's gold.
Gary from Greenbank.
Good morning.
The shame. He was busy. Gary from Greenbank. Good morning.
Oh, his sister was busy.
There you go.
Yeah, good mate.
Yeah, good mate. Did you have a mate that slept with your sister, or did you sleep with a mate's sister?
No, it was my brother that slept with my partner.
Okay, your brother slept with your partner.
Oh, no.
While you were together?
Yeah. I was at work all the time, and he was staying at my place.
He's keeping a company for you, Gary. What?
Yeah, got her pregnant, but I can't have kids, so she had to go and find him.
Oh no! That's a telltale sign.
All right.
Hey, darling, I'm pregnant. Well, I can't have babies. It's not mine.
What was that?
That's right.
What was that day like? That confrontation?
I had a laugh.
Oh, good one.
I want to top it off, Margot. I went and slept with her mother.
Oh. Take that.
Wow. Hold on.
Take that.
Payback's a bitch.
Isn't it? Revenge is sweet,
that's
Gary.
That's unreal.
Isn't it? Yes.
Okay.
How long were you with the mother for? Did you hang around?
Only the night. No.
Just a one-off.
Just one night.
Yeah. Yep.
Just to let her know what it's like.
Wow.
And how did she go?
Let who know what
did you show her?
Bloody oath.
Gary. We need to give Gary a prize because really? That's just outstanding.
Okay, would you prefer beer or seafood? What would you like?
Seafood. Don't drink beer.
Yeah, okay. Fitzy's fresh seafood Tarragindi, fresh seafood craft beer wine, homemade seafood pizzas.
Hold on, one more, but it's on the burner phone.
You can read it.
Oh, I don't want to read it. Oscar from Jimboomba, thanks. Give us a text anytime. I slept with my best mate's sister after day at the races. Yeah, that happens.
Big day at the races. Got the day
shoes
drinking.
On. You're piggybacking at home. Yeah. Next thing you know, you get a bit excited.
Jugs of beer and horses.
Ended the day down $350 and up one STD. Nice, Oscar.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I live such a sheltered life.
Thanks for your calls.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, Marto, the countdown is on until those grade 12 students finish exam block and their ATAR scores are far behind them and they descend upon the Gold Coast for Schoolies Week.
Just to confirm, it didn't take place last year, did it, Schoolies?
Schoolies 2020 was cancelled.
I remember they said you need to think laterally and just go with small groups of your mates.
Yeah, we had heaps of friends who had kids in grade 12 and they went camping, they went up the beach, they went to Noosa, other things, you know, and instead of all hoarding with tens of thousands of other kids on the Gold Coast, you know, they got creative. festive and they did some other stuff and celebrated the end of their school year.
I remember my kids both went to Schoolies Week down the coast. It costs so much. Like whoever owns those units where they hold Schoolies Week and those towers, they're like charging them out $5,000 a week and stuff. Our kids were paying $1,000. It was a rip-off.
Well, our tourism and hospitality industry has been hit the hardest, Marto, of course, you know, during this pandemic. And they're rubbing their hands together because the Gold Coast operators are down there going, yes, please, come, let us have schoolies. Now, and so they're saying that they're going to, with, you know, COVID restrictions and, you know, all sorts of things in place, that schoolies will go ahead this year.
What now they're all 18. You remember how they changed it a number of years ago. Now kids, when they finish school, are 18, not 17. So they can all go out rather than hide in their...
They can drink responsibly and legally.
That's right, rather than hiding in their hotel rooms and drinking and walking around the outside edge. Why don't
we... Well, that's what I did when I was at schoolies because I wasn't even 17 yet. I was 16 when I finished grade 12 because I was a January baby. And I started school a little bit early.
Right,
and all my friends were older. And so we drank in the hotel room. Sorry, Mum. But we got up to all sorts of shenanigans. I think I ended up in the hospital twice at schoolies. I broke up with my boyfriend. I woke up with my nipple pierced. I got my stomach pumped.
Whoa,
it was a great old time, which is why I heavily encourage my children now at 11 not ever to go to schoolies. It's a bad thing. You don't want to go there. God. Do something else.
Whoa, hold on.
Do you remember schoolies, Marto? Did you have
haven't
schoolies?
Dealt with your pierced nipple. I've spoken about it before, Margo. I think we invented schoolies 2 years before I finished school it started at the Broadbeach Hotel.
There were no Red Frog volunteers back then, were there, Marto?
It was every man for himself, let me tell you. But I remember my sister's got three boys, okay? First boy got arrested. Mm. Second boy got arrested. The amount of pressure on her, the third son, was
arrested.
Like being the chapel who couldn't play cricket. So it took him until the Wednesday to get arrested, then the family, all his brothers. Thank goodness. Welcome to the family.
1-3-5-3.
What do you want?
I want to hear the disaster stories of schoolies. We all know that everybody gets up to no good at schoolies. You can remain anonymous, but don't. It's not fun.
3 years ago, so 4 years ago to be, my young bloke, his schoolies, these blokes lasted 4 hours, okay, and turfed out. Pay their $5,000. They were turfed out within 4 hours.
Jesus.
It was the best. And I can remember my Harry went down. This is a good story. He went down and a couple of the blokes were boarders at his school and their fathers were both cattle graziers. They all brought eskies full of meat. They just cooked a barbecue that went for a week and every chick, because they took a packet of biscuits down, most girls, they just went by the Sunday or Monday, they got so hungry and they were just picking up chicks because of the meat. It was cooking a constant barbie. And then the bouncers with the big poly boys, they'd come up, hey, can we have some meat too, please? And they were cooking steaks all week and it was just the biggest friend attractor.
Everyone's got a schoolie story. 1-3-5-3. Let us know what yours is.
You got to tell us about that nipple, though.
Wasn't until I wore a swimsuit around the pool that my dad goes, that's funny. I don't remember you being born with three nipples on one of you.
Oh, my God.
Marianne from Bundaberg.
Please stop.
Good morning.
Good morning. My daughter went to schoolies on the Gold Coast and they're all on the mopeds. And one of the girls read in the pack of a Ford Ranger the guy got out and said, look, all good, no damage. And then they started teasing and going, Ford Ranger? What Ford Ranger? And then the cops pulled them over for beeping their horn all the time. And the cops fined a lot of them. And then my daughter rang me up and said, look, we all got fined. So I rang up the cop station and abused them for fining them. I said, look, they're all out having fun. Why book them? I said, you just want to get the revenue up. You know, why book them? But they all paid the fine.
Marianne,
they all paid for the fine.
Let me just think, Marianne. No one has ever gotten off anything for abusing a cop. You didn't. Yeah.
I thought it might help. It's mum just being a protective mum,
Oh, that's sweet. David,
for a lot of kids, it is their first contact with the constabulary. It is their first time they've had handcuffs on.
I love that Marianne presumed innocence before guilt, and it was the cop's fault.
Yeah,
it wasn't
of course it was.
Do with my child. David from Logan Village, good morning.
Good morning. How are we all?
Yeah, have you got a schoolie story, mate?
I do. It was the start of school. He's actually probably 2000. We got down there, and they double booked our room.
Oh, dear.
And...
We had nowhere to go. They ended up finding a place about another 400 or 500 metres south of where we were originally staying, and we were the level below the penthouse. And just to make it even better, the penthouse was getting renovated while we were there.
Oh, dearie me.
So you're lucky. We had tradies with jackhammers and whatnot.
Oh, you don't need that. They're like annoying red frog people. at least Jesus. Well, you went better than Jesus when they turned up and there was that double booking when he was born.
What, Bethlehem?
Yeah, well, I've got no idea. It's just a religious tale, apparently.
Dave.
Hey. Trying to find a parallel.
Jesus.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Brisbane's new team, the 17th team of the NRL, is good to go. They told the 16 clubs yesterday and they... Oh, well, let's go straight to him now. Dobbo, hello, mate.
Yeah, morning, guys. How are you? And it's exciting times for everybody because we will get that fourth team that we've desperately wanted for so long. So yesterday, Peter Volandis met with all 16 clubs. Now, what they've done is Peter Volandis has obviously bought an extra $20 million through this extra rights deal with Fox and Channel 9 into the kitty. So all clubs are going to get a little bit more money and the game can fund this side. Now, two of the clubs, I'm believed, wanted a licence fee paid by this new bid team. Now, what I can tell you is none of the 16 teams have ever paid for a licence fee, so Peter Volandis got quite upset about that. And obviously there was some concerns. One of them, I'm believed to be, that raised some concerns was the Brisbane Broncos. They wanted to see a little bit more exactly what this licence looked like, and rightly so, because potentially they're going to take away some of their fan bases.
So they wanted some hurt money, I think you'd call it, would you?
Well, that could be the way it looked at. I know that South Sydney obviously had some concerns as well. All shut down or everybody's happy. Today, they now look at the three bids, the Firehawks, the Brisbane Jets and the Redcliffe Dolphins bid. My understanding is that the Dolphins will win out in the end, and that will be decided and the recommendation will be given to the board today from this commission, and then
Dobbo, they call it the Expansion Assessment Committee. Who's involved? Who's that?
Well, there is, it's quite interesting. Peter Volandis is on it, Andrew Abdo's on it, Kate Jones is on it. So they're three people that are already on the ARLC commission. So I don't know why the commission just don't have their own. But anyway, a committee tells another committee. I'm not going to break that one down. But it is strange, Marto, I agree with you.
But Shane Richardson, the former boss of South Sydney and also East here in Brisbane, he's Firehawks and he's blueing. He's going, hold on, Redcliffe is a foregone conclusion.
Well, I can understand why he thinks that, but everybody's had equal opportunities and everybody's had their opportunity to make sure that they put the right bid through. The Dolphins bid, everybody knows where my heart lies. I live in Ipswich. I'd love to see the Western Corridor win the bid. But the bottom line is, if you look at it from pure facts and from a financial perspective, I absolutely believe that the Dolphins bid is far superior than the Ipswich bid from that perspective. Now, if you want to go and say, well, we're going to take a stab in the dark, and, well, you could take the Western Corridor bid, but you've got to have the money, Marto, and that's the big thing.
Yep. Well, that's where the AFL have gone. They've seen the potential in the Western Corridor and they're investing $80 million out that way. Why is the NRL not considering that as a really viable option?
Well, I think that there is some investment going in out here, Margo, just not a team. Brisbane, don't get me wrong, the AFL haven't put a Brisbane Lions team out there. They've got a training facility at Springfield, but all their games are played at the Gabba. And sure, they're going to have development officers out here, but so are the Broncos. The Broncos will definitely put some investment. And one of the big stipulations Peter Volandis has said to the Brisbane Broncos, that you need to give a guarantee that you're going to invest in the Western Corridor. There's talk that there could be an Intrust Super Cup team back in Toowoomba, and that would obviously make a big difference as well. They're looking at that. And from there, the Western Corridor. There's no two ways there should be a side there. But I also think that the Dolphins bid and that Northern Corridor is a huge growth area as well. And all the mapping looks like there is a lot of population growth in that Northern Corridor as well. So there's an argument for it, and I get it because I'm from Ipswich. I'd love to see it here. But I think the reality is that Redcliffe will get the Dolphins bid will be the one that wins, and it'll be the most successful at this time.
Dobbo, will they stay the Redcliffe Dolphins, or will we be calling them the Brisbane Dolphins? Will they link themselves to Brisbane, considering that is the team, the city that they're going to be a team for, or what is it, the North Brisbane?
They definitely will be. No,
Dolphins?
They'll definitely, the one thing that they've been very open about is the Dolphins' name, so the Finns, will be remaining, but it will never, ever be called Redcliffe. It will be put to the people of Brisbane what they think it should be called. I'm thinking it'll be something to do with Sunshine, Brisbane, Dolphins. It'll be somewhere along that, I'm hearing, and obviously, but it will definitely not be called Redcliffe at all. So that is 100% right. It's going to be aligned to Brisbane.
When are you naming Wayne Bennett as the coach, Dobbo?
Sooner rather than later, I think.
Righto, mate. We got to go. Great call, Dobbo. Thanks, mate.
See ya.
It's bye. Dobbo from Triple M's Rush Hour.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, sometimes you see a story in the paper and you just go, we've got to be, hopefully we can help these people.
What can we do?
All right, to tell you the story, I read it the other day and there was a young bloke called Harry. He was a 21-year-old, third-year apprentice styler, same name as my son, an apprentice, and I thought, oh, that rings a bell. But the story was unbelievable. So that he and his pregnant partner, Emily, were travelling home to Kalanga a couple of weeks ago. Their Ford Ranger, and it looked like a beauty. That's why it reminded me of my son. I thought, good ute. He's got good toolboxes. And that's the story went on to say how organised this young bloke was. Hit by a speeding car.
Oh, dear.
Which didn't stop either. Oh. Knocked them onto their roof. Not just on their side. Knocked them onto their roof.
Did you say she was pregnant?
She was pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. How scary.
Car was insured. And that was a good thing. And there was stories like...
And they're okay.
Well... Let's go through the whole thing because I've got them on the line now. I've got both Harry. Hi, Harry.
How you going?
And I've got Tabitha, who's Emily, his girlfriend's mum, who she rushed to the scene. Hi, Tabitha.
Hello.
I guess, will we start with you, Harry? Tell us about the accident. You were driving home to Kalanga at night time.
You got hit by a car.
Yeah, we're driving home from Sandstone Point. There was a strawberry and dessert festival on. And then, yeah, just as the highway comes down to the... 80 kilometres away near Deception Bay, just chatting, nothing happened, and then all of a sudden, just within a split second, it just flips over onto the roof and slid down the road about 20, 30 metres. And
gosh.
Yeah, it's one of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced. I've never even been in even a fender bender. It's my first ever even crash.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Harry, first and foremost, obviously you and your girlfriend are both okay, and you said that she's pregnant, so is the baby okay?
Extremely lucky. The baby's fine. It's going strong. It's honestly a miracle that any of us got out of it, to be honest.
And am I correct? The person who hit you, no sign of them. They kept going.
By the time we got helped out of my car, Emily got up to try and check on the other drivers, but then everyone around us said that they bolted.
And so, Tabitha, you're Emily's mum, and you were the first person that Emily called?
Emily, there was a lady on the... highway there, and her name was Jenny, and she gave my daughter her phone because Emily couldn't find her phone. Mm. And I don't ever really answer random numbers, and I'd literally just picked my phone up and really felt sick, thought something was wrong, and my phone had rung with a random number, and my mind just told me I had to answer it, and I answered it.
And you're saying to me you beat the emergency vehicles there.
I sure did. Then I was just screaming out for Emily, and then I found her. And once I found Emily and Harry, and there was a man there helping Harry with first aid because he had a split on his eye. And then it was just a matter of trying to get all his stuff that was scattered along the highway.
Back to Harry there. So, Harry, I saw the ute. I've seen your Ranger and your toolboxes.
So the ute's upside down. Obviously, there's damage to the ute, Harry, but all your tools...
Everything got ripped off. Tools are everything at a tradie. That's how you make your money. It's half experience and knowledge, and it's half tools. And, Harry, we're hopefully going to help you get those. So stand by. Hang on to the phone there for a sec. We're going to find out. We'll play a song. We'll find out if anyone can help us.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
This is 104.5 Triple M. It's the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
If you just joined us, we were just talking to Harry. He's a third-year apprentice tiler, and he lost all his... Well, he had a car accident when he was hit by a speeding car, which didn't stop, put on his lid of his of his ute he can replace, but he lost all his tools, and we were hoping to help him.
And his mother-in-law, Tabitha, brought this story to our attention. Marto, you read it in the paper, but they've also set up a GoFundMe page to try and help out Harry and Emily. They're expecting a little one very shortly. But Harry is A, out of a work vehicle, and C, all of his tools have been damaged. So we thought, who can help? And fortunately, we're so lucky here at Triple M that our good mates at CNL Tools have reached out. And Vince, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? Good?
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Vince. Thank God for you. Well, I hope you're ringing for what I think you might be ringing. You heard the story about Harry, mate.
Yeah, look, very touching, very sad, and I wanted to ring up and offer our service to Harry. I heard what happened. Very touching, mate, very touching.
And so, Vince, we've actually got Harry and Tabitha on the line. Tabitha and Harry, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, Vince from CNL Tools has come on board because he wants to help you out, Harry. Vince, can you tell Harry what it is that you'd like to do for him?
Look, Harry, I heard your story. I'm sorry to hear what happened. I'm happy to at CNL to get you going, whatever you need. I've seen this before, so if you come down and see me, we'll make a time and I'll make sure that anything you need to keep working, you'll get. Please give us a call.
An open invitation to come on down to CNL Tools and see you, Vince, and Harry. He's going to get you back on your feet because Vince has always helped us out when tradies have been in need, Vince. Before. And Harry, you sound like a tradie who's in need and a very humble one at that. So thank you to your mother-in-law, Tabitha, for bringing you to our attention so that we can try and help you out as well. But thanks to Vince from CNL Tools.
I'm sure we'll work it out and make sure he gets everything he needs, Harry. So please, give me a call and we'll make arrangements.
Hey, Vince, I dropped in there a few weeks ago to fix a nail gun. Did the boys tell you? They fixed it, honestly, in about 3 seconds and didn't even charge me. Incredible.
What?
They didn't know it was me. Yeah, they didn't know who I was just another bum tradie. So, mate, thank you for everything.
No, it's our pleasure. I'll get up on my Monday.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Harry, could you thank Vince as well? You'll run into him in the next week or so when you can get in there, and, mate, he'll help you get underway again.
That's unbelievable. I don't think you understand how much that'll really help everything that's been going down. It's been an extremely stressful couple of weeks since this has happened, so this will be amazing, to be honest.
All the best, Harry. Thanks, Vince, and thank you, Tabitha.
Thank you very much, guys.
We're so happy to hear that you guys are safe and well. And when is Emily due?
She's due February.
Beautiful. And do you know if you're having a little girl or boy?
She doesn't want to find out.
Keep it a surprise. Well, we look forward to hearing all about it in February. My sister's actually due at the end of January, so lots of little babies in the new year. We wish you all the best and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you very much.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
For top odds on your sports and race betting, there's only one place to bet. And, of course, that's topsport.com.au. Please gamble responsibly.
I just want to talk cricket for my thought. Thank you. Thought on sport. Margo, test cricket, a little dull. One-day cricket, the 50 overs each side, a little dull.
You know
times.
What I like? I like the 2020.
That's the one. The World Cup's about to start too.
Mm.
But the Big Bash is coming along in the next 5 or 6 weeks, I would say. It's going to get underway.
Is it still the KFC Big Bash?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know that one. Mm. Usually is because it's a rap.
Mm.
Because it's the classic. It is the biggest game with young kids and, you know, played at prime time when people are hungry. So it's KFC.
20 overs, is that?
Yeah, 20 overs each side. Mm. But the problem is, it's been so family friendly and played at prime time. It started out, the games used to go for 3 hours.
Mm.
And now Cricket Australia has listened to the fans who said, hold on.
We want more.
No, they don't want more.
We want less.
Yeah, that's right. See, footy, that's where BBL came from. That's where 2020 came from because they looked at footy and they went, oh, shit, it only goes for, you know, rugby league and union 80 minutes. AFL goes for about 100 minutes all up. That's what people want. Then they can go home.
The short and sweet.
Kids haven't got much focus. Drunk blokes don't have great focus either. Mm. So we've got a crackdown on who's causing these games because last year there was a few games dragged on to 3 hours, 40 minutes, 3 hours, 45 minutes and people going, oh, hold on, we want to go home. You know, if they're at the game, they're going, oh, our kids have got to school tomorrow. We've got to do, you know.
So
got
what
stuff
now, the 10-10?
No.
15-15.
They've analysed it and they said, where were we losing the time? When a guy gets out, the next batsman in was taking too long to get there.
Dragging the time
And they've
clock
done
down.
Their analysis. They're going, righto, let's speed the game up. How would you do that? They're going to have a shot clock.
Oh.
So from the time the guy gets, you're out, how's that one? From the time the umpire puts his finger up, they're going to have a shot clock and they're undecided whether it's 60 seconds or 75 because sometimes
That's
it was taking
a long time.
Well, it was taking 3 minutes because the guy's just sitting like 70 metres away.
Yeah, just
He's
run.
Just got to get there.
Get there in 30.
Listen to this. Either get in there within that 60 seconds or face a potentially game-changing penalty to your team. And Ooh. You're going, what could that possibly be? what's going to happen if they're not at the crease, the bowler on the ding of a bell, go, right, time's up.
Free bowl.
Free bowl if he's good enough to hit the stump.
Oh.
Can you imagine people running out?
Like and a beep test.
I reckon maybe even if they're not there and, oh, no, that's the best one, or let them not the first ball. You don't get a bat, you just get hit. Just have to stand there and take whatever comes your way. Or stand next to the stump so the bowler can either bowl you out or soften you up and then get you out. This is brilliant. I think there should be more of this sort of thing. Like, it's a very Muslim-Saudi approach. Start chopping off fingers for every 10 seconds, that sort of thing.
Instead of stoning them.
Well done, cricketers. Yes, stoning them. It's like Sting Pong. Did you ever play that? Oh, think about that.
Marto's thought on sport. The big breakfast at Triple M.
Mark, I remember about this time yesterday, we were talking about that general timber and steel, the prices going up,
yeah,
shortages of
Paul
materials.
Bibble.
Yeah, from the master builders. Shortages of things, delays, logistics, supply chain problems.
Yeah.
Generally. And one of the big ones they kept talking about was no timber framing, no studs, 70 by 35, 90 by 45 studs. It's
trusses.
Not around. Timber veneer, lamy beams and all the rest of that.
Mm.
Anyway, fast forward, yesterday afternoon, he's a bit of a mate. He rings me and he goes, listen, sorry to ring you on the personal line. He said, I want to talk about something. And I've bought timber off him before over the years, okay? Mm-hmm. That's why he was ringing. He doesn't want his name mentioned, wants no publicity. But if there's anyone out there, and I just want to do this as a service, because there's people struggling to get jobs underway, there's people having to put contracts off. This guy has a heap of framing timber.
Oh.
That's all I want to say. Ring us here, 133353. And I don't want to turn us into a bloody timber supplier or a labour hire firm.
Timber Tinder.
Ring us 133353. If you're a carpenter or a builder or whatever and your job is being held up by your inability to get timber framing, to get studs, ring us here at Triple M and we'll sort you out.
We get stuff done here at Triple M.
He doesn't want to get swamped. He just wants to save any Triple M listeners, any builders or carpenters who this would be.
If your business relies on it, he can help you out.
If you can't work simply because you can't get timber, he said, brilliant, I'll sort them out. Okay? Because there's timber yards with no timber. I proved that yesterday after the show. I went and checked it out and then all of a sudden he's rung
That's
out of
great
nowhere.
News.
We are like the job seeker of...
Well, what about... I remember Sean yesterday. You remember he rang up while we were talking about it. He said, yeah, it's all good talk, but I can't find a job.
The other night on the news, they're going on about all the work that's out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out of work and I'm looking for work. I'm in the construction industry.
Yeah.
Where is it all?
What are you looking for, Sean?
Operating machinery.
Okay.
Hey, what, Bobcat excavators? What are we talking?
Excavators, front-end loaders, backhoe.
Fully ticketed? We went, oh...
We're not a labour hire firm. No,
but
we'll get your number, and if anything comes up, it comes up. And so we got his number, and he's on the phone with us now. Sean from Moray Field, I heard you got some good news, mate.
Yes, I was rather successful yesterday in getting a job.
Tell us what happened.
Well, straight away, Marto, after you hung up, I got a phone call from you guys, and they put me onto a bloke by the name of Mao from Paul's Edwards Construction.
Yeah.
And away we went from there, mate.
Oh, I didn't know.
Where do you start?
So our producers must have sorted it out behind the scenes, did they?
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah. They've done a really good job, you know. And it's for the company that Paul Edwards to ring me straight back, mate, was brilliant, you know.
Incredible.
When are you starting?
Start next week, Marto.
Good one,
mate. Just hopefully that it's not raining Monday, Tuesday, and we can get into it, yeah.
Hey, listen, just on that, yeah, late showers Monday, but it will be raining Tuesday.
You'll
start in the mud. What are you doing for them?
We're going to be laying stormwater, sewer, and your water pipe, mate.
Wonderful.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And just talking to the blokes, I mean, you know, a professional outfit, mate, by just talking to them simply, you know, and it was... Really good. Made my day yesterday,
mate. Excited to start, Sean. Good to see. Keen.
Yeah. So I'd just like to say a big thanks to Paul Edwards Construction.
Yeah, you've done that three times.
They're a professional mob, mate. I mean, I know, Marto. I mean,
no,
it's just
I'm
exciting,
kidding,
mate, you know. And for somebody to ring you that heard you on the radio, it just shows you what type of people they are, you know. Like,
now,
they
only
know what it also shows you.
Like
you should advertise through radio.
Exactly.
Triple M, eh? I mean, I've got to say a big thanks to all the Triple M and all the people there, you know, it's brilliant.
No, yeah, we're glad we could help you out, Sean. But you know what? It took you to make the phone call, to put yourself out there and say, hey, you know what? I'm looking for a job and I can't find anything.
Now,
If
we were a labour hire firm, Sean, I don't know if you've ever been through one, who do we get our commission from?
Well, we'd be charging Paul Edwards Constructions.
Paul Edwards Constructions after four.
What's our commission rate, Marto?
Up to 30% of Sean's.
I'm about to call Paul Edwards, don't worry.
Hey, Sean, we're so happy for you. Anyone else, if we can, if you want, why don't we do it? We've got tradies all listening at this hour.
Well, Marto,
yesterday
I had another job for Sean because another gentleman by the name of Troy messaged me and said, hey, I've got a job for Sean. If he wants it, give me his details. Yeah. I had another gentleman say, hey, I'm looking for HC crane truck drivers, HCMC truck drivers, multiple positions available, you know, all open flat top work, full PPE style work, immediate start for the right people. So also looking for pool business experience, fiberglass pool installers.
Fiberglass,
so there's plenty of jobs out there. You just, all you got to do is ask the question or give us a call. Maybe we can help you.
We don't mind linking them up. We've got useful listeners like Sean, and we've got people like, what was that bloke's name again? Say it for the fifth time.
Paul Edwards. Construction.
Who the hell's Paul Edwards?
It's the champion. Big Breakfast.
He's obviously listening.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
And it's time to herald one of the great Australian unknown sporting talents. Well, she should be better known, and she will be after this weekend. She has just swum the 43rd time in her career, the English Channel. And on Sunday or in the next few days, she's going to swim it for a world record. Only, no one's ever done it, 44 crossings of the English Channel. Let's say hello to her on the Big Breakfast. Chloe McArdle, hello.
Morning from London in the UK.
Chloe, I'm so embarrassed to say that you and I were born in the same year and I haven't even swum 30 kilometres once, let alone 43 times. Can you tell us why?
Yes. Why?
When I was 19, I decided I wanted to be the best in the world at something, and I was a competitive swimmer as a junior in teenage years, and that competitive streak never left me, and it took a few years to find the right sport for me. When I found marathon swimming, I was like, I know this is the one. I can really excel, be the best at this. And I knew that the best swimmers in history go to the English Channel, and there's amazing Australian marathon swimmers you would have heard of, Des Renford, Susie Maroney, Shelley Taylor-Smith, and to swim in their swim strokes is such an honour, and to go after this world record is such a privilege.
Incredible. Now, you know, Desi Renford was around in my youth. He used to smear himself in pig fat before he crossed. Are you doing, you using the same technique, or have you got an outfit?
I think you're using some artistic licence there. It's actually lanolin. It's wool fat.
Oh, look,
and
oh,
yes,
oh, it's wool fat. Oh, right, oh, pig fat would be funny. Now, what? Now, how long does it take? How, what'd you say, 30 kilometres it is?
Yeah, I'm just reading here. Is it correct you did it in 10 hours and 54 minutes? You've literally only just finished swimming it today, now.
Yeah, I finished it about 10 hours ago. It's 34 kilometres. Interestingly, I do not sleep well after a channel swim, so I'm buzzing right now. It's 12 minutes to midnight here in the UK, and I'm very happy to be chatting to you back in Australia.
Oh, God.
Incredible.
Now, listen, France to England or England to France? It doesn't matter.
The French won't let us start on the French side, so we all start on the English side, and I do single crossings at the moment. So today I finished at France. On the next world record swim, I will finish in France, although I have done multiple crossings, so three double crossings. Des Renford was never able to manage a double crossing. And then I've done a triple non-stop crossing. So that's England, France, non-stop. And that was 36
hours. Righto, now you're just showing off. I mean, really, come on.
Totally, everyone should know.
tell us about this body of water. It can be quite challenging. What are some of the things that you face? I mean, not just the conditions of the surf, but, you know, all of the creatures that lie beneath. Are there sharks, sea lice, I mean, sunburn? What are the cold, the temperature of the water?
Jellyfish.
What are some of the things that you encounter during this swim?
Ships.
The sharks are super tame compared to Australia, so you don't worry about them. Even the jellyfish are tame.
Hey.
But the real issues for most swimmers is a super strong tide. So I was swimming across an 11-kilometre-an-hour tide today. There were no solo swimmers out today. There were no relays. It was just me, because people looked at the tide and said, we can't swim it.
Hold on.
So no one was out.
Chloe.
I had the whole channel myself.
Chloe, I'm sorry. Is there people out most days just going for a swim across the channel? Is it a regular occurrence?
Oh, it's super hard. It takes 3 years to get a booking to swim the English Channel. It's a casting system.
Book? Oh, what? My God. Who's getting
it? Is that an online booking system or how does that work?
You email boat captains. So every swimmer must have a boat captain.
Yeah.
And there's only 12 boat captains allowed. The season's fairly short. It's only 3 months. And then most days it's not possible to swim the channel because the wind is often horrific in the English Channel. So when a day comes around where the wind drops slightly, most people want to swim, except if it's a day like today, the tide's too strong for most of them.
And only you did it.
Excuse my ignorance. Isn't the season currently winter over there? Why the hell would they make the season
autumn
when it's so cold?
Yeah, we're in the middle of autumn. It was quite a cold day today. I had 5 people on the boat crewing for me. All of them had jackets the whole time. So it is quite cold. But I'm trained for this, and this is my 6th crossing in the last 2.5 months. So I've kind of been training.
Oh my God.
Training
all right. So
constantly.
Has the seawater gone to your head? Is that what's happened here like 6 times in how long?
You've equaled it today, 43. Whose record have you equaled? Who are you going to go past on Sunday?
The amazing British swimmer Alison Streeter. So she and I are now 9 crossings ahead of any man in history. And so this Sunday or possibly as far as Wednesday, I'll be then 10 ahead of the closest man and 1 ahead of Alison.
But will Alison come back and try to beat you again? Is she still swimming?
She's been retired by over 10 years and she's not active at all.
You've got her.
Don't worry. She comes back. I'm getting back in. I'm only 36. I've got
plenty of time.
I could swim the channel for like 35 years.
You are mad.
If I wanted, I won't be there.
Incredible. Do you have a number in sight that you'd like to set? Because obviously there'll be someone who'll want to come along and break your record. What's that bar that you're going to set for them to have to reach?
My bar's 44, so I'm about 24 crossings ahead of any active English Channel swimmer right
now.
God, this is extraordinary.
Incredible.
Hey, thank you for today, opening up the world that we don't ever talk about, swimming English Channel. We might give you a ring on Monday or Tuesday whenever you've broken the record. How would that sound?
Sounds great. We'll chat then.
Chloe McArdle.
The most
wonderfully
successful
mad woman.
Ever. Incredible.
Wow. And we'll talk
well
next
done.
Week.
Congratulations.
8 to 9, a Triple M.